Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. I was a finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mully and Hall.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovy on 670 The Score. Score.
Tommy. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Well, I got to tell you, it's a sad day. I just heard Kevin break the news that that Gale Sayers has died. He, of course, was a Chicago Bears legend and one of the great players in the history of the National Football League. And we want to send out all our condolences to his family. Gale Sayers, a remarkable career, a remarkable player. I was lucky enough to do a radio broadcast with him one time out at a bar. And I forget where it was, but the line, I've never seen a line like that. It was like Michael Jordan kind of fame. Gale Sayers meant a lot to the people of Chicago. I didn't want to let that go without acknowledging it.
That's absolutely. You know, we talk about, you know, legends in the city of Chicago. It's cool, you know, knowing that you walk at Wrigley Field and that we play baseball there, but knowing that six touchdown game at Wrigley Field, I think he had, and they were talking about, you know, the different spots on the field he scored touchdowns from. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what he was able to do and still be able to, you know, it was cool to be able to have that at Wrigley Field as well.
Yeah, you know your football history, Tommy. Gale Sayers, obviously born in Wichita, Kansas. He's a Kansas Comet and gone too soon. And yeah, that definitely is a big loss in the Chicago sports scene. And no easy segue, but obviously congratulations on the Cubs last night, clinching a playoff spot, Tommy, and what you're immediately working on. And it's been a long road, and I know that, you know, personally and professionally, this has had to have been a summer unlike any other for you. And just when you are able to exhale last night, what goes through your mind, and how would you describe, you know, what it means to get back into the postseason for the Cubs?
This has been such a unique year for everybody, you know, baseball on field, off field, in your lives, everything that we've gone through to make this season happen. It's hard not to be very gratified and also just proud of what we've been able to accomplish, just as a group. I think with the hoops you have to jump through, the things that we've had go on, all of the restrictions, not only on what we can and can't do at the field, but in our own lives, basically, what we've had to sacrifice to be able to make this thing happen. You know, it's something that I think we're all very proud of. We're not done. I think we all understand like what we still want to accomplish and what we're here to do. But yeah, it was nice getting together like with the coaching staff last night and just kind of having some conversations and talking through what we've been able to do and what we want to continue to do, you know, the rest of the season. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Tommy, as we look at where your team is at and we watch the different pitching performances, we start, as you can imagine, fantasizing about what it's going to look like, how you line guys up, I think everybody knows who the first two guys are, and now we're wondering who's the third starter, and we saw John Lester sort of put his stamp back on what he's been doing. He really has responded well, and we know the back of the baseball card. Maybe you're spoiled for choice with Alec Mills doing so much better this year. When do you start talking about how to line them up and how to spread everybody out? We now know you're going to the playoffs. How do you start making sure the rotation is going to be where you want it to be when those playoffs begin?
I think we, first and foremost, like we want to make sure that, you know, we take care of business that we need to win the division, you know, and solidify that that aspect of it. But I think we have a good idea, like you said. I think having, you know, Hendricks and Darvish in some version of one and two between those two, you know, we have the ability to kind of maybe use this weekend to get them work in, but also not, you know, overuse them. You know, Hendricks is throwing tonight. Darvish next scheduled start is Friday. You know, and then to be honest with you, Just for me, I don't know how you know, you go into a postseason and not trust, you know, a guy with the storied history and the guy who's been in the postseason and pitched some of the biggest games. You know, if it's game three and we're on the line to you know, our season's on the line, I don't know how you don't trust John Lester with the ball in some of the biggest moments, regardless of how he's pitched lately, you know, just because of who he is. You add the fact that John's now, you know, I believe he's given up two runs in his last 17 innings. He's really throwing the ball well. What he's worked on over the last few weeks, just kind of simplifying things and getting back to being kind of who he is and what makes him tick, I think has shown on the field. So, you know, we have the luxury to have in a three-game series, you know, to be able to use a guy like Alec or even, you know, some of the other guys in a more important role in the pen as well, just to see how we want to adjust things there. But, you know, for me, just being honest with you guys right now, just knowing that we have a John Lester on the team, I don't know how you don't use a guy like that in a game three scenario.
Yeah, that's echoes what David Ross told Lawrence Holmes yesterday, Tommy, on the score here, and just kind of indicated that regardless of what's happened, the experience is something you trust, and the playoffs are unlike any other experience. So it kind of a different approach. And in that vein, you look at this year's unique schedule with the lack of off days. We do focus on the game three starter because of that first series, but you're going to need more than three if you continue to win. What did last night tell you, inform you about what to expect from either Jose Quintana or Alzolay if you get to the point where you need a fourth or you know, a fifth guy?
Yeah, first with Quintana, you know, I thought he did really well, especially the first inning, obviously getting to come out and kind of get his feet back under him facing you know, a different team. You know, he had only thrown one basically simulated inning, you know, 3 days ago at Wrigley. So it was good for him, number one, to get out there and get his feet wet and get that first inning under his belt. And there's also, I like the fact that he had to pitch through some, you know, some traffic yesterday too. That experience is just going to help him moving forward. He got to 34 pitches. We were kind of trying to get him to 35-40, so that actually worked out perfect there. And I thought he made some good pitches. He obviously was, missed a few too, and he'd be the first one to admit that, but that's part of like getting him back out there. So we're going to have another opportunity to get him out here, you know, at some point this weekend, continue to build his pitch count up, and then see where we're at going into that first round. We're gonna try to find ways to continue to get his pitch count built up and get him the work he needs to knowing that, you know, if we wanna do what we wanna do this year, we're gonna need him to be stretched out as much as possible going into that second and third round. As for Adbert, you know, this kid continues to impress, you know, when he gets opportunities, and another example of how he went down back to South Bend after that last outing, continued to work, wanted to work more on the slider, and wanted to try to separate that a little bit more off his curveball, and he did a great job, you know, with the coaching staff down there. The stuff is always been electric, and it's something that, you know, getting him those opportunities, letting him continue to work and get better. We're going to need pitching. You know, the first round, you're playing three games. You talk about the names of the starters that we're going to have in Darvish and Hendricks and John in the bullpen. I mean, you don't think pitching, you know, you're going to need as many pitchers, but when you play five in a row and then potentially seven in a row, you're going to need arms. You're going to need guys that can cover innings and guys that can get big outs for you. So both of those guys last night, we feel confident about that. We feel confident in their ability to not only pitch big innings and multiple innings, but also get big outs for us when we need them. And obviously we'll make decisions on postseason roster soon, but feel good about where those guys are headed.
You did not use Craig Kimbrell last night. Where is he at? How is he doing?
He's doing great. I mean, he feels really good. The work he's been putting in, even pregame, it just continues to get better. He's had two or three days. I don't think he's pitched in 5 days, but he's had two or three days in between there where he's gotten up and either had the next inning or was going to finish it, you know, if we had scored and things like that. So he got up again last night. We were ready to bring him in there late in the game. But, he's doing great. He continues to get his work in, continues to be focused on the right things. And you know, between him and JJ, what they've done and how we can interchange those two now at the back of the bullpen, you know, gives us a lot of freedom and ability to kind of move those guys around and extend one day, use one shorter the next day, and get more of a playoff feel with how we want to do things, you know, at the back of the pen.
Tommy, got to ask you this, because obviously in town the White Sox have had success turning to Garrett Crochet, a guy they drafted in June and have put in high leverage situations already. Hard throwing lefties, 21 years old. The Cubs have a hard throwing lefty who's 21 years old. Braylon Marquez is a guy that Jed Hoyer did not necessarily close the door on when asked Sunday if he would be part of the plans moving forward this year in the next week or so. What can you tell us about that possibility and where he's at?
Yeah, In this game, you always love having guys that have elite stuff and the ability to use it in your pen is a nice weapon, a nice weapon to have. You know, Braylon's going to join us, obviously, in the bubble, and we'll continue to get work in. We'll continue to try to evaluate him and put him in simulated games as much as we possibly can, just get more looks at him. You know, obviously, we want to give our team the best chance to succeed, and if we feel by the end of this week that our best chances to succeed is with him in on our roster, then we'll make that decision, obviously. But we've also got a lot of guys out in that bullpen that have grinded with us all year, that have pitched well and pitched through some things, and you also trust those, you know, what those guys have done. So, you know, we're trying to take this day to day. We want to win. We want to make sure we win the division, but also we need to make the best decision on what we want to do for our team success in postseason.
Tommy, great catching up with you. Really appreciate the time. Thanks a ton, and best of luck.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Have a great week.
That is Tommy Hotovy. Always a joy to talk to him. Just, you know, reminds you how smart the people running the Cubs are, and how what a bright guy he is, and it just it's uplifting. It makes you feel better about life, doesn't it?
Dose of perspective, and I applaud him. He is a football fan. We know that, and he did pay, you know, his respects to Gale Sayers, a loss for all of us in Chicago, and obviously Tommy understands the significance of Gale Sayers passing away, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame release that. But, yeah, I agree with you. Tommy Hotovy, when you talk to him, you feel better about a lot of things.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
As the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch him now. Sayers, NFL Rookie of the Year. A one-man Gale. Dashing 85 dazzling yards on the longest punt return of the season. Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail. This is his sixth touchdown of the game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Yeah, you know, just so sad to lose Gale Sayers. And I understand, you know, people don't live forever. And Gale had been unwell, and he dies at the age of 77. And, I, you know, nonetheless, a real tragedy. A guy that was bigger than life in so many ways. Again, I remember doing a radio show during the Bears season a long time ago. I think it was before I was really doing a lot of radio. And getting to sit with Gale Sayers and talk to him and seeing the number of people that lined up. I mean, the line was outside this place to talk to him during the breaks to try to get an autograph. And he was so accommodating, and he had nothing but time for people and was really good about it. And it was just extraordinary. When if you grew up here in Chicago, I mean, really, if you grew up anywhere, but anybody that's seen old I don't remember Gale Sayers as a player, but I certainly remember talking to Doug Buffone about him. I certainly had conversations with Gale Sayers and a chance to watch those old tapes. What an extraordinary talent, and a guy whose career was cut short by injury. You know, we all remember Brian Song and his book, I believe, Gale's book, I read when I was a kid. It was called I Am Third, based on his motto, which is, my, you know, God is first, my friends are second, and I am third. Just an amazing life and an amazing player. And it just brings me a certain amount of sadness, because it brings back kind of the bereavement I feel about Doug, and it an era of Bears football that obviously was long gone already, but one that that really meant a lot to a ton of people. What a fantastic person Gale Sayers was.
Meant so much to so many. And, yeah, the injury is what you remember about his career being shortened and what might have been had he stayed healthy, because this was one of the most dynamic runners in NFL history. And he led the NFL in rushing twice, and, you know, the return game. I can remember talking to him, and he still had a lot of pride in his career, even as Devin Hester kind of burst onto the scene. And I think it was around 10 or 11, maybe the NFC Championship year, where interviewing Gale Sayers and him reminding you that, he agreed that he and Hester were maybe the two greatest kick returners in NFL history. Just get the order right. And he was first, and Hester would be second. Took a lot of pride in what he accomplished, and he, you know, with Brian Piccolo and that friendship and how that was immortalized, and just what he meant to the Bears and for an era. And it was unfortunate he was never able to get to, you know, enjoy that postseason success and have the kind of, you know, that career that way, the winning that he was deprived of. But yeah, it's sad what he went through the last several years of his life with dementia. I think the last kind of glimpse we got of him was at the 2019 Bears 100 celebration, when he was in a wheelchair and did not look like somebody that you remembered in that number 40 jersey, and yet he got the ovation that he deserved, and he represented all of the love Chicago feels for a Gale Sayers. So, yeah, rest in peace, 77 years old, gone too soon.
And I'll look forward to seeing what the Bears do in honor of him and what tributes they pay to him today. But this is from the Hall of Fame President and CEO David Baker. He says, all those who love the game of football mourn the loss of one of the greatest to ever play this game with the passing of Chicago Bears legend Gale Sayers. He was the very essence of a team player, quiet, unassuming, and always ready to compliment a teammate for a key block. Gale was an extraordinary man who overcame a great deal of adversity during his NFL career and life. And I think it's very well said, and just really moving to think about that, David, and all that that he managed to achieve. And you mentioned some of the great seasons he had. Maybe the greatest season was when he came back and effectively on one leg,
yeah,
kind of had 1,000 yards rushing, you know, dragging people. It just extraordinary to think about that man's career and all that he did. And, you know, again, this is long before arthroscopic surgery, and a guy whose career was interrupted by injury and he overcame it, but never was really the same player after that knee injury. But what a glorious person and what a great career he had.
How about that 1965 draft? The Bears picked 3rd and 4th, and they get Butkus and Sayers back-to-back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and that the cornerstones for that decade and that era of Bears football. And, you know, Mully, I had my first experience with Gale Sayers was because after his career was over, he went and settled in Wakarusa, Indiana. So when I was in South Bend, I can remember, you know, he was a big, as you can imagine, a big deal in a small town, and a guy who was very comfortable out there amid the quiet. And having an experience to interview him for the first time in those circumstances, and then coming to Chicago and getting to know him a little bit more, just in functions and when he was more active. And as I said, a guy who was fiercely proud of what he accomplished and always would check, was a good listener, because if you got a little carried away in putting the current players, I can remember having a conversation about Matt Forte as well, about the best rookie season of a Bears running back. And he'd be very careful to nobody would forget what he accomplished because it was so spectacular.
Boy, it seems like you're going to Gale all the time with bad comparisons, David. What the hell?
I did. Well, you know, it was like when Forte burst onto the scene, that was the guy you kind of looked to. When Hester did what he did, he was the guy you compared. He was the standard by which others were measured, and I think it just speaks to the impact he had historically. You know, when you start talking about impactful Bears coaches or players in history, you know, do you get lower than naming 5 guys before you get to Gale Sayers? You got Hallis, Ditka, Peyton, Butkus, Sayers, right?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, he's up there for sure, and just boy, just really, it's tough to think about stuff like that. And I'm trying to make a joke, obviously, because I'm getting a little emotional about it. But let's get to Kevbo. We'll get a scoreboard update, and we'll get back to the program, and we'll be right back with you after Kevin. Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David, we've got to get back into some Bulls talk, and we've got to get back into some talk about Billy Donovan. But we have yet to mention the postponement of the Notre Dame-Wake Forest game due to COVID-19. The Irish announced that 13 players are in isolation. And in a statement on Tuesday, Notre Dame said that 7 players tested positive for coronavirus out of 94 tests that were done Monday. And if you combine it with the testing results from the last week, that leads to 13 players in isolation, 10 in quarantine. And as a result, they've paused all football-related activities. And the two schools are working on a date to reschedule the game. But goodness gracious, it has to give everyone a bit of pause. It makes you stop and think about what's happening and going forward in the college football season, seeing what's going on with the Big Ten as they're out on the field preparing. You know, this is sort of this isn't yet the worst case scenario, but man, you're closing in on it.
Well, you are flirting with danger here, and I think it underscores the challenge ahead for the Big Ten, who decided to reverse course, and they're going to play an 8-game season without a bye week. So what happens if there are teams that run into a similar situation as Notre Dame, and the testing reveals what it reveals. I mean, the NFL has gotten, you know, tremendous results from its testing procedure and protocols, but it is, again, professional football. They have ways to control the environment and behavior easier than you do for college students on a campus. So I think this should be a cautionary tale for a lot of people, and I don't think you're going to reverse course again, but boy, you just look at it and it just reinforces all the things and trepidation you felt last week when the announcement that the Big Ten was going to plow forward and do this. And you wonder what they're thinking out the Pac-12, Molly, because they're supposed to meet, I believe it is tomorrow, to decide their future as well.
And again, I mean, you know, part of what gives you a pause is, well, they've decided they're going to have to stop right now, but, you know, the two schools are working on a date to reschedule. Okay.
Well, a week later, guys. Perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, because they both have an off day on and first weekend in October. So, yeah, let's get together if we don't have, you know, double-digit positive all right. tests at that point. Yeah,
because that's what it's all about, is making sure that we can get the games in, right? Who are we kidding?
We'll be able to catch that TV check.
All right. The Bulls have themselves a new head coach. We got to talk about it. 312-644-6767. What are your thoughts? What was your reaction to hearing Billy Donovan to the Chicago Bulls? It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Do you like Jim Boylan? Yeah.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yeah. How do you spell I? That's pretty funny. my kid always will text that to me, you know, like A-I, whatever way you'd spell I. Very, very amusing.
It makes
me laugh. Yeah, yeah. It's about the highest compliment that Jim Boylan ever got.
There weren't many.
There wasn't more than that, really. And, you know, Jim would get worked up a little bit. He went far from emotional responses. And he loved the idea of talking about the playoffs and felt that he was going to get that team to the playoffs last year. Now, obviously, that never happened. And it seemed like a pipe dream. More than a reality when it was brought up initially. Does your expectation level for the Bulls next year change now that they have a new major decision maker in basketball and Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley coming in from Philadelphia as well, and now you bring in Billy Donovan, a decorated coach, a guy that has won awards for his coaching, and just curious if it changes anything in your mind in terms of the way you view this particular team.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it does. The Bulls are done experimenting with head coaches. In many ways, went from Tom Thibodeau, a guy who was a tremendous hire and made his mark on this franchise and was fired for being a lot of things that had nothing to do with wins and losses. But Fred Hoiberg, nice guy, really liked Fred, really do like Fred, but experimental. Jim Boylan, clearly trial and error, mostly error. And now you go to a guy in Billy Donovan, highly respected, who has made history, and it was a coach of distinction at the college level in Florida, one of 14 guys that have coached multiple championships in college basketball, one of only four men who have played and coached in a Final Four. And he went to the Thunder, and he won there at a 60% clip. So now you have legitimized your franchise at the head coaching position. This is no longer an assistant coach learning on the job and, oh, we'll get there, he'll be better next time. No, you've got a guy who, if you believe in your core, can coax it to the point where you're in the Eastern Conference, and making the playoffs has to be a realistic goal whenever next season begins.
You know, I think that it's interesting when you talk about the Bulls coaches and looking at it that way, because this is the first coach with head coaching experience to come in here since Scott Skiles. And I think that, you know, Tibbs was a really good hire and did a great job, but you didn't know whether or not that was going to work, whether he would be the finished product. We didn't know how that was going to go down because there wasn't something to lean back on. And, you know, the Bears are an organization that very rarely hired a coach with head coaching experience, and they have tried to have these guys kind of learn on the job. And they reversed course on that philosophy when they brought in John Fox. And when they made that hire, I thought, oh, this is a good idea. You got a general manager that doesn't have experience, and you're bringing in an experienced head coach, and that combination is going to help out. And it didn't work. It didn't work out that way at all by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't know, there was a lot of talk. You know, John Fox was already kind of, you know, he was looking for his golden parachute by the time he got here, and all that sort of thing. That's not the case with Billy Donovan. I mean, this is a guy that is an intense competitive type of guy. He is it's fascinating to me. If you recall, when he was in when he was at Florida, when he was in Gainesville, he was at one point offered the Orlando job and I believe accepted and then reversed course on that acceptance of it. And part of that was due to the age of his children, I believe, at the time. Yeah. And he wanted to stay in Gainesville and have the family continue and all that. And then he ends up going to Oklahoma City, really kind of in response to the age of his kids and the way things were going. So he was a guy that probably always wanted to get in the NBA, felt it might have been too early a move when he was offered the Orlando job, and then came back and did a great job, did a fine job in Oklahoma City. So I think it's a great hire, and I think the Bulls are really lucky to get him. And I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that they went out and were as aggressive. And clearly, you know, we don't have the numbers, but we'll find out. Here's a guy that was on a 5-year, $30 million deal, right? And did not want to go through another kind of rebuild as they're going to have in Oklahoma City.
This isn't going cheap. This is thinking big. You know, there will be no golden parachute. He does not come to town with that. He comes to town with his sleeves rolled up, ready to work. And he's 55 years old, and he's a pretty youthful coach, and he is not going to be shy about attacking this job. And I think anybody else you would have hired, had it been an assistant coach who worked with AK in the past or Mark Eversley in the past, you would have trusted them because of the way that these guys have made decisions so far, but you would have been trust by association. Billy Donovan doesn't need anybody to vouch for him. His resume speaks for itself, and that is big. I think that's a big difference because he already comes kind of pre-stamped and with that credibility. And that goes a long way, not only in his own locker room that he walks into for the first time at the United Center, but it's going to go a long way when they start to pursue free agents.
312-644-6767 is the number. Does it change, David, the priorities in the draft? Does it in any way shift or change what you're looking for in terms of the draft? I say no. I believe him when he says that they're looking for the best player and they're not just looking to fill this particular position. I think they really are. I think that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to try to find the guy that falls to them or the guy they project to be the best player in the draft, and nothing changes.
I don't think anything changes either, because I think he has shown an adaptability regardless of the style of player, whether it's a superstar, whether it's a guy who fits a role. He has coached them all and worked his kind of scheme and approach around the talent. So I think it probably, you know, there'll be a collaborative process who the Bulls will pick if they stay at number four. I think you'd still look at some mock drafts, and Denny Avdija is a guy that was Israeli League MVP. He's only 20 years old, I believe, but that is a guy, boy, is exciting to consider his future now that you have a guy like Billy Donovan on the bench.
312-644-6767. Rich is in Rockford. Hey, Rich.
Morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, man. Hey, to answer your question about my reaction on the Donovan hire, I always had a feeling that AK and Eversley were going to do something special and they were going to get their man. But when I saw going across the screen yesterday, breaking news, I just quietly hoped, like, well, where did he end up going? And when I saw the Bulls, I about fell over. I was just so thrilled. It was like winning an Academy Award or winning the lottery or something. It was like, God, I'm just so excited. It's not anything different than what everybody. I'm just glad to see all the excitement. And real quick, my son had texted me Charles Barkley's comments. You probably saw him.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, you know, he just doesn't get it. I think I'm so glad Donovan sees it as a challenge and an opportunity, and it's going to be so fun to follow.
Thanks for the phone call, Rich, and you can thank the Academy later. Barkley said that there are only two jobs worse than that. It's a job worse than the captain of the Titanic and his personal trainer. And a good line, but I don't think it's really that terribly accurate or fair here, because the Bulls have some pieces there that well, let's wait and see. I don't think it's as bad of a job as Charles implied with that comment.
Well, I think that if it is that bad a job, the fact that they sold this guy on it is very impressive.
It is.
And it gives me hope that they can sell a free agent on it, that they can, sell their ideas. I think that it may well have seemed that bad a job if they had not changed things and hadn't moved forward and don't have the hint that they are investing in the front office, in the coaches. And I think that changes the way that this organization is going to be perceived. I think what Charles said is so 9 months ago, right?
Yes.
It's just so a year ago. And I think they're getting out of that.
It's an old way to look at a new and upcoming kind of team in the Bulls, and you know, the fresh start. They the pandemic pause gave them a chance to kind of hit the reset button, and that is the way. It is an old way of thinking. So, like I said, I laughed when I heard it because Charles Barkley is hilarious and good, but I just don't think it was necessarily an accurate portrayal of what's going on over there, because Billy Donovan saying yes to the Bulls with the Sixers job, the Pelicans job, and the Pacers job still open, that says a lot right there.
No doubt about it. I think, people that were having fun teeing off on the Bulls and really going after them, and Charles, you know, it's I guess it's habit. I don't have a problem with it. They have to prove it first, but I think maybe hold off on that. Let's see what happens. Let's see how long it takes. We'll offer that advice to our colleague Dan Bernstein next. I'm sure he's feeling good about it. And Layla Rahimi is with him, so that will calm him down too. So that's
all right. Layla's here today. Good day for her to be here.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.